Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, and in northern New Jersey, where Kaboom is live on the scene at MetLife Stadium after the Steelers pull one out by the hair on their chinny chin chin, 34-32 over the New York football Jets. Happy Sunday, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. We got a lot to break down after this one. I didn't think they'd score 32 points combined, to be honest with you, at times this week. But 34-32, the final. Follow us on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And, of course, if you're not already subscribed on YouTube where you may be watching this, welcome in. We got a victory drink there, Kaboom. I know you're on the clock, so you can't have one, but I got an iron ready to go.
Yeah, we're not allowed that. You know, back in the day, they used to provide alcoholic beverages after the game, but I guess they didn't want to legally to it. But
that's a no-no. He is veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali, correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, live on the scene there in northern New Jersey, where he arrived early this morning because his flight yesterday got canceled while he was at the airport. Dear God, I feel bad for you. It was bad. I texted you at what, like 9 o'clock last night, asking you where the hell you were. And you said, in your game room. But you got up at 3:15, you got on a plane, and you made it to Newark. Congrats.
Yep, and it's now 5:07, and by the time we finish this and me write my story and you going back to the hotel, I got to wake up early. And glorious life.
It is. It's beautiful. Well, you know what? When they win, even if it's ugly, you feel a little better about it. But we kind of had that we just many people all week, but we kind of, did you lose me? There I am. I'm back.
How
we
you
kind of
having
expected
better?
It might be ugly, but I didn't think it'd be high scoring ugly. Real quick, before we start to dive into things, thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens for always supporting the show. SouthwestGreensPA.com. You could have a fantastic look. Yard, the best one in the neighborhood, with the least on a mix. You're gonna be mowing it all the time. Not you, grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Tell Jake that Cabali and Mac sent you. All right, let's start with the guy that I know we're gonna talk about all kinds of things on both sides of the ball, but in the end, it came down to man himself, the serial killer.
Our kicker,
come on, Mike.
Serial killer, man. He got a low pulse rate. He can't wait to deliver.
Oh, the clip cut out there, but Mike Tomlin telling everybody that his kicker is a serial killer. Appropriate. The guy's got ice water in his veins. Kaboom.
Yeah, I was able to grab him after the game. And in typical Chris Boswell fashion, he's like, come around the corner here so nobody else sees us. Well, everybody saw him. But he says, you know, I don't go out there and look at the yards in the field goal at all. I don't really put a number on me what I can and what I can't make. I just go out there and kick the ball. And that's what he does. And that's what he's known for. You had to think late in that game.
It worked.
It was like, let's get to the 50 and take our chances, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy nails, as Mike Tomlin said in the post game, nails 60 yarders in pregame like it's nobody's business. So Chris Boswell being able to kick it from that distance isn't necessarily shocking, but being able to do it with that much pressure riding on it, after really not being able to move the ball at all there on that final drive and get to something more comfortable. The fact that he just walks out there, and Tomlin also said after the game, that 56 yarder that he hit in the first half, he didn't even look to the coach. He just walked out there because it was fourth down and it was time to kick a field goal. He doesn't care how long it is. He's the best kicker in the league right now.
Yeah. I actually watched that when he did that. I'm like, when it hits fourth down, he just goes out there. He did a little glance back and said, you know, if somebody's calling him back. But as soon as it hits fourth down, it doesn't matter where it's at. He's heading out there. But it's a great weapon to have. It's a good thing today that they didn't need him for 6 field goals. They only needed him for 2. I think 2, right?
I'd like to add up the yardage from the 2 he hit today. What would it be, 116 yards? I guess that's still not as much as the 6 that he hit last year in week 1. But damn, these 2 felt bigger than the 6 last year in week 1, given that it shouldn't have been this uncomfortable all day. Again, we kind of had an inkling it would be uncomfortable, but it wasn't for the reason that at least I expected. I thought the offense would have a lot harder time sort of finding their rhythm. They didn't. Rodgers walked out there and looked like Rodgers all damn day from the first drive on.
Like we're burying our lead here, right? Just like remember the Titans. We got ourselves a quarterback. I mean, he looked flawless. He made maybe one poor throw to Calvin Austin, but I think it was a little bit behind him. I think that was he was trying to prevent the safety from clocking him. So I think that might have been all. I mean, he was pretty much on target the entire game, and you see what it's able to do. I mean, they didn't even have a running game to rely on. He was getting banged around by whoever was covering, who was ever rushing on Broderick Jones. He was getting harassed at times, and he was playing from behind the whole time. It's just like, man, if he could just be a fraction of this good the rest of the season, I think they got something.
Yeah, 22 of 30 for 244 and the 4 touchdowns. The Jonnu Smith one counts as a touchdown pass because he threw it forward. You can call it a run if you want. Doesn't matter. 4 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers. And that first drive, from the first drive on, like I said, that first drive, he was clinical. Moved the offense down the field. Now, we could focus on the fact that the running game ended up being outgained by like 3-1, I think it ended up being. And we'll talk plenty about the run defense. And we could talk about the run offense. We could talk about the line and the pass blocking because Broderick Jones got absolutely worked today. But in the end, you don't win a game like this one, an ugly game that maybe you shouldn't have won, unless where your defense gets their ass kicked. Unless you've got a quarterback who can hold it together in those moments, and they have that again.
Yeah, he seemed like a 20-year veteran, right? That's seen there, been there, done it all at the point. And I even asked Gainwell after the game. He's like, yeah, man. I mean, he's just different in that huddle. I mean, you never knew if you were down by 10, up by 10. He was just a confident guy, and you see that. It's something they've lacked for the most part since Ben retired. So that's good. You know, if I have my druthers here, if I have my – I know this game wasn't perfect, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Defense stunk, right? What happened to this great defense? They're giving up 184 yards rushing to, you know, rookie and a backup offensive lineman. But if I had my choice, I would much rather see it go this way, as in I think the defense can figure things out. Now, if it was a flipped around again, if it was a 6-3 game, you'd be like, man, this offense is going to be hindering the whole season. I like the fact that they can put up the points and they look good on offense. Now they just got to figure out some kinks on defense again. And obviously it's the same stuff, man. What is it? Gap integrity, missed tackles, same crap. But they got the talent there. So I'd rather much go this way than flip it around.
Yeah, and look, the Jets are going to be a quality running team all year. I'm not trying to excuse anything because you can't give up 182 yards on the ground to anybody, even the best running teams in the league. And the Jets aren't that. They're going to be a good running team. And they have the added dimension of Fields and what he's able to do. What he end up with, 48 yards on 12 carries, two of them for touchdowns. So, like, I get that there are difficulties that come with that. But you're right. You cannot get absolutely gouged the way they did, really, from beginning to end. And, that's just we said it really for the last month or so that the strategy was going to be for opposing offenses that they were going to try and run on the Steelers because they showed they couldn't stop it towards the end of the year last year. Yeah. And not much of the personnel, if any, up front has changed since Derek Harmon is out now. So until they show that they can stop it, people are going to keep trying. I guarantee Seattle will try to run next week. I guarantee New England the week after that until they show that they can stop it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you're going to keep doing it, even though, Benton was not good, at least early in that game. He was getting pushed around. Hayward was non-existent as well. I mean, Loudermilk's what he is, and they had to throw Logan Lee in the game late, so it is what it is. Black, like I was anticipating, he wasn't going to be all world YA Black right out of the gate.
No, he got beat up a couple times.
You expect that. You expect that. That's why. But Peyton Wilson, I mean, I don't know if it's because the linemen were on him. He didn't make many plays at all. Queen missed some tackles. But what really concerned me, and not concerned me, but shocked me, was how wide open these receivers were for the Jets. Mm-hmm. You cannot tell me. You can say they can rush for 184 yards to Jets. Fine. You can't have Justin Fields. Justin freaking Fields go 16 of 22 for 218 in the touchdown?
10 yards per attempt.
Give me a break. I mean, they weren't hard throws. They were wide. I mean, how many contested throws were there? As in, there was a defensive back close. Not many.
No, but credit to Fields. I will give Fields some credit. Like, he was careful with the football, I thought. Yeah. Didn't really put the ball. And again, maybe a lot of it has to do with the coverage that you're talking about and how wide open guys were. But he didn't put the ball in a lot of dangerous places. He was careful with it when he was running with it. I thought Fields looked good today, for what it's worth.
He was very accurate, but once again, those weren't hard throws. Those were throws that any NFL quarterback should make. He wasn't getting pressured as much as he should have been. And I don't know where this press man, tight man-to-man coverage is, because I didn't see much of that at all here today. I don't know if it's worrisome, but I'm just wondering if that's more scheme right now or what it was. I mean, Porter missed probably the second half of this game with some injury that I don't think they ever really announced.
Tomlin said it was hamstring tightness and they didn't want it to get worse. So
yeah, just like Nick Herbig's hamstring 6 weeks ago, right?
You hope it doesn't linger like that, but yeah. So
that's the problem. I mean, plus you had Deshaun Elliott out for probably more than a half, right? So I'm not making excuses. You can't give up 450 yards to the Jets, especially with this defense. But like I said, I'd much rather see it this way because I think they could still be a really, really good defense. And if you had to start all over again on offense and say this is just crap they brought in, then you have nowhere to go.
Well, yeah, we'll talk plenty about how the defense was terrible today. I'll read Patrick Queen's quote. Well, first, let me thank the good friends down at Archie's. Arch has jumped in and supporting the show. Great place. Maybe you watch the game down there today. Maybe you're going down for Sunday night football, getting some wings. They are open all night every Saturday and Sunday for all the games, college and pro. And of course, tomorrow night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they'll have those 80-cent wings that are just delicious as well. So get on down to Archie's. We appreciate Arch supporting the show here on Cabali and Mac. The direct quote that you just tweeted out a few minutes ago from Patrick Queen: we played like shit. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We played like shit. And if we keep playing like that, we're going to get our face mashed in. It's that simple. I call it like it is. And we played like absolute trash.
He was talking about the defense. Yeah. He was talking about the defense.
Yeah. Yeah. But that sums up the defensive effort. They did. They looked terrible at times. I mean, for example, when they get that couple of scores and New York gets the ball back and just walks down the field on them. I get what you're saying about, obviously, with this much talent, they should be able to improve. Yeah. And you'd rather see the offense click on all cylinders or most.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Cylinders as it did most of the afternoon and hope the defense improves just based on the talent that they have. But it's worrisome when a lot of it is the same crap we saw at the end of the year last season.
Yeah. Probably against a lot lesser opponent as in offensive line and running back wise too.
Yeah.
So that's a little concerning, but you know, these guys didn't really play a lot either. I guess if you want to make the excuse, but that's self-inflicted wounds too, man. I mean, that's, you want to keep guys healthy and don't put Watt and Highsmith and Hayward out there and barely play the guys in the secondary. Maybe that has something to do with it too. But like I said, I'm not concerned about the defense quite yet because they got a ton of talent. So
I'll say I'm concerned. I'm just not slamming the panic button yet. It's one week.
But it's one game for the offense too. But at least the offense looks like
they know what they're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks like they got multiple weapons. I mean, I see somebody mention, where's Roman Wilson? Who cares? I mean, did you see what Calvin Austin did?
Right.
Did you see what DK did? Did you see what Gainwell did? I mean, who cares? Maybe you need him next week. Who knows?
Yeah, I thought it was odd that Kenny G got as much run as he did, but Mike Tomlin said he's not going to sit there and parse snap counts. They were just basically going with the guys that were getting it done. And
well, that's funny because Kenny G said he was all part of the game plan all week. So, who's lying?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. One guy on defense that did impress, and as long as he's not taking stupid penalties, I am a huge fan of the way he plays. Mike Tomlin on Jalen Ramsey after the game.
First impressions of Jalen Ramsey in a Steelers jersey.
I'm glad he's on my team. I've seen it in stadiums before. A lot of these new Steelers, man, you know, we've covered it for a long time, and sometimes it's just about opportunity. I've certainly been an appreciator of his skills and talents. Can't say enough about him, man. He played nickel. He played free safety. He played outside corner. He is a top-notch football player, and I'm glad he's on our team.
And he comes up with the big play at the end to absolutely bury Garrett Wilson on that last play on offense for the Jets.
A couple of huge plays.
I mean, he draws a personal foul penalty. It was downright European soccer-like the way he drew that personal foul penalty. Yeah,
then they went after him right after that, right before the half.
Yeah.
Two of them went after him. And good.
So for a team that and the Jets talked about it a lot, Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt talked about it, and Evan Washburn on the CBS telecast about how Aaron Glenn wanted to get them away from the undisciplined penalties and the undisciplined football. It didn't work, and you could argue it cost them in some really key spots. Jalen Ramsey was able to get under their skin. Mike Tomlin said it in his press conference, but I think this is going to be the story coming away from week one is if you're looking for bright spots, which you shouldn't have to search far for bright spots in a game that you won 34-32. One of them is the new Steelers, as he called them, all the new guys that were thrown into this thing over the offseason. They all came up big at some point. Jalen Ramsey comes up big. Kenny G, a huge blitz pickup on a third down play, a pass that Aaron Rodgers made to DK Metcalf.
He forced a fumble
on the kickoff. Ben Skowronek recovers it. Another new Steeler. I mean, just over and over again, we're talking about guys that were added to the mix in the offseason who came up big.
Yeah, I mean, Ramsey's the one. You know what? There was two plays in that game that, first of all, Ramsey's play that he was called for illegal block. Man, I don't know what you want him to do. He wasn't trying to take out that lead blocker. He was trying to make a tackle.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's part of the rules. Even if you make contact, it has to be an illegal block. But he was definitely not taking out his legs. A lot of times you see that on those type of plays. You take out the lead guy and let your help you make the tackle. He was trying to make the tackle. That turned out to be a huge play. That was a 4-point swing, right? They end up scoring rather than whatever. And they got screwed on that Calvin Austin one late in the game. I mean, you probably saw it better on TV. It looked like Calvin Austin got his whole shirt yanked on that third down play. It was a third down, second down.
Whatever. Yeah, it was obvious enough that we saw it as well on TV as you saw it from upstairs. He did. He got grabbed.
Yeah, it was. So there was a couple plays. I'm sure the Jets could say the same thing on the flip side of that, that there's a couple plays that they got screwed out on as well. But Ramsey, if he keeps his mentals straight and not make those dumb penalties, he's a game changer. He's a difference maker. And I mean, I'm not the only one that said that from day one. You saw him here, but this is what we've been seeing. He can do this stuff.
Yeah, and he was all over the field too. He was on the outside corner. He played nickel. Once Porter left in the second half, like you mentioned, Eccles moved outside and Ramsey would play inside. He played off the ball in the middle of center field as well. And he made plays from every position. So that position versatility, flexibility paid off as well. Jalen Ramsey, an angry Jalen Ramsey is my favorite Jalen Ramsey as long as he's not taking stupid penalties. It's like Evgeny Malkin for the Penguins when he was at his peak. When he got mad and he got angry and he got fired up, good things were going to happen. When Jalen Ramsey gets fired up, good things are going to happen. And burying Garrett Wilson on that final play was kind of like the cherry on top and just the microcosm of the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the defense struggling, and obviously they did. Mm-hmm. They might have been the worst part today, right? Mm. You know what I'm alluding to.
Mm.
That offensive line, huh?
Broderick got his ass whooped most of the day.
It's tough on a couple of those. I'd have to look back on them because that two of those sacks I think he gave up. I mean, he's setting deep on those plays. He wasn't anticipating Rodgers to step up in the pocket. He must be getting pressure from other places. And it's very easy for a defensive lineman just to disengage and go make the tackle when you're expecting to go back. Still, it didn't look good. Late in the game, he just looked really bad.
I mean, early on, it wasn't actually as bad as late, and that's what was, I guess, more because I think what happened is Will McDonald figured out how to beat him, and I don't want to call it a simple spin move. It was a really nice spin move, but he dropped him with it twice and got to Rodgers both times. He dropped the spin move on him, got right inside, like you said. Rodgers was still there in the pocket, and so he took the quarterback down. But, I mean, if you're Broderick Jones, you got to know that your 41-year-old quarterback isn't going to be running all over the field. He's probably going to be stepping up in the pocket because that's the way Rodgers plays.
Yeah, but it's hard for offensive linemen to know that. He's expecting that outside rush, and all of a sudden you stymie him, and then he just peels off and just goes forward. I mean, goes sideways. I mean, yeah, I'm not making any excuses because he didn't play well.
No.
But it might not be as bad as, well, the PFF grades are
the PFF score is not going to be good for Broderick tomorrow. It's not.
The funny thing is I saw Ryan Clark tweet something yesterday about a play of a game, and he said, yeah, I don't know, but was this happened, or this happened? It was hard to tell. And I'm like, well, PFF would have known instantly who's responsible for it, right?
That's what they do. Thanks to the guys at Higgins Painting. HigginsProfessional.com is where you go. Or you can give them a call, 412-344-0480. Interior, exterior, you want to give your home a fresh look, they'll take care of it for you. Transform the entire look of your house with a great paint job from Higgins Professional Painting. Their family's been doing it for 4 decades. Don Higgins founded it 40 years ago. The family carries on a tradition of great customer service. They can do, like I said, interior, exterior, commercial, industrial. They'll even do drywall repair for you, and they do a fantastic job of it. If you're ready to discuss your project, they'll provide you with a free estimate. Get in touch with them now at HigginsProfessional.com or go to 412-344-0480. Just give them a call, and they'll get on out there and help you out. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. We mentioned all the new guys having a quality day. Chief amongst them, the biggest name of the new guys, who was asked afterwards about that infamous meeting with Aaron Glenn that he talked about with Pat McAfee back in April that we brought up again earlier this week, and Aaron Glenn telling him that he didn't quite think he was the guy for the Jets. Yeah.
That's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
You know, there was motivation on both sides for the quarterbacks, I got to think. Now, Justin Fields ultimately decided to leave Pittsburgh and sign a richer deal in New York and maybe get a better opportunity, he thought, there. And credit to him, he played well today. Maybe a little motivation from him to show his former team and his former head coach that he could be better than they thought. But Aaron Rodgers, he'll never admit to it more than he just did there. Aaron Rodgers wanted to go in there and shut everybody up, and he did.
Well, probably more, you know, his former head coach, the head coach.
Yeah.
More than anybody else. I think he still gets along with a lot of people who are still in this organization. I don't think there's any ill will towards them. But, I mean, when somebody says, I don't want you here, and like I said, I truly believe whatever he told Pat was true. I don't think he's made that up or embellish it whatsoever. But he gave a little dart, little bend dart. It was a little bend dart, you know.
A little soft tipped.
He really didn't say anything, but you knew what he was saying. He did that earlier in the week, and he did it again here. So that's the first time I saw that because I was in the locker room. I didn't go to the
– You didn't go to the podium.
That's when I was probably talking to Queen and Hayward, and because everybody leaves, which leaves the locker room somewhat.
Well, while people were busy talking at the podium, as you mentioned, you were talking to Cam Hayward and you asked him his impressions of number 8.
Freaking quarterback who can sling the ball around and deliver. You know, I know everybody asked what our quarterback was going to be this year. Man, he was special today. Happy's on our side. We've played against each other before. He's always diced us up. It's fun to watch him dice up other people.
This changes everything. Because like you said, to circle back to one of the original points you made at the beginning, even on a day when your defense sucks, again, direct quote from Patrick Queen, they played like shit. Even on a day when your defense sucks, if you have a quarterback who can pull it out the way he did, everything changes. Like, as much as I like Mason probably doesn't play that way today. Sorry. Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, anybody you want to go through the list of quarterbacks who have taken snaps since Ben Roethlisberger retired for the Pittsburgh Steelers doesn't do that. There is a certain something when you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback and just the presence back there, but not just the presence, the ability to make the plays when they need to be made.
Yeah, he has that, I hate to say the word moxie. He has something where it never seemed like it was too big. I think it was even like, a 9-point game? You're like, man, if they don't score here, this is going to be out of control. And he was still able to go matriculate it down the field and make some big throws to Calvin Austin, make some big throws, a couple of maybe the Freiermuth, a lot of screen game, which is very interesting for this team too. A lot of wide receiver screens, a lot of quick screens, which they might have to incorporate more if these outside or Broderick Jones keeps doing what he's doing. But I would not be surprised, just to backtrack a little, if they don't good move forward trying to get Broderick more help. They're going to have to.
I mean, they've got to do something, because if you're not doing anything and the screen game becomes your go-to weapon, like there were two long third downs today. One was a tight end screen to Janu, I think. And another one was like a middle screen to either Warren or Gainwell. And both of them were on third and double digits, third and 11, third and 12, I think. And I get it. If your left tackle is getting his ass beat, you don't want your quarterback to have to sit back there. Nobody's going to get open, so you dump it off and hope to break a tackle or two and get a first down. But if that's becoming one of their go-to weapons, then yeah, you have to reconsider how you're going to handle the blocking up front and pass protection. And you know what? That might lead to more Gainwell. If Gainwell's picking up blitzes and free rushers the way he did today, then what you got out of him might not be all that unusual. The seven carries, what he had, end up with three catches too. 10 touches for Kenneth Gainwell is about 8 more touches than I expected. But if he's the best back there at picking up free rushers and blitzers and people that get by Broderick Jones, then by all means, keep Kenny G in there.
Well, that number 30 is not bad either, that particular job either. But especially early on, it was mostly all Gainwell. Warren contributed.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A little bit later here, but you're gonna have to. I mean, it's not like you have any options at left tackle, so you're just gonna have to help him out and get him through that. For the most part, you don't. I mean, let me do my math here real quick. Aaron Rodgers on pace for about 70 sacks this year.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, he's 40, soon to be 42. Some of those were hard hits too.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's. Has the age or the body to be able to endure that. So something has to be done, especially when you go against, you're coming up against teams that can rush the passer really well. I mean, the Vikings
it can't be ignored that they ran the ball for crap too. I mean, they averaged 2.5 yards a carry.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean,
that's a big part of it as well.
Then how do they win this game? Our special teams pretty much stuck early. I mean, coverage wise.
Yes.
Their defense stuck the majority of the game, although they had a couple late stops, right? Last two stops, I think, were pretty significant. And their running game stunk. Their offensive line stunk, but they still won.
This is, again, I think we had the sense it would be ugly. But not that it would have to be 60-yard field goal from Chris Boswell in the final minute. Ugly.
That's 68, man, if he makes it. I mean, right? That's probably a 67, 68, or if he had to.
Oh, he crushed it.
Yeah.
It's invaluable. They have the best kicker in the league right now.
Oh, by the way, Hayward did talk about his contract. But he basically said, I don't think it's – I didn't bring this up. I got the video. This is not really the time or place to talk about it. I'll talk about it at a later date of what happened and all that stuff. So, but anybody out there wondering what happened there, he says he'll address that at a later part of this week.
Okay, on his podcast probably.
I'm not even thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Thanks to everybody at Nail Studio, too, for continuing to support Kabali and Mac as well. Look, guys. There's no shame in getting your feet taken care of, right? And they'll do a good job. You could go get a pedicure at Nail Studio, too. No one's going to judge you for it. In fact, they may not even know, but you'll know because you'll feel better for it. Think of it as maintenance. It's not a luxury. They'll tackle the calluses, the rough spots, tired feet. So you don't only look great, but you feel great, too. Whatever this season throws at you, you can book online, nailstudio2.com. It's a Roman numeral. nailstudioii.com. Give them a call if you'd prefer, 724-941-4595 out there in the South Hills on 19 next to Juniper Grill in Lakeview Square in the Peters Township area. Again, the online booking available 24/7. Get yourself taken care of. Maybe get a gift certificate for a lovely lady in your life too so she can get her nails done. Nail Studio 2, we appreciate them supporting Kabali and Mac as well. Yeah, if they're not able to run the ball at all, like as much fun as it was to watch Rodgers be Rodgers today, like that's not going to happen every week. That's not going to work against better teams.
Yeah, but we have to look at it too. Not everything's going to click every single game, right?
No.
That's just the NFL. I mean, next week, for all we know, Aaron Rodgers looks like crap, but they can run the ball for 170 yards, and their defense plays defense, and they're back to their 14-9 games. So finding ways to win while you continue to get better is the key, at least early in the season right now. So, because good start, it's tough to figure out how, where this run game has been, because Caleb Johnson, man, did he have a carry today? I don't think
so. One for negative 2 yards.
Honestly, I think, yeah, because I looked at the Fabo next to me and said, when did it turn out that I look faster than Caleb Johnson? When did this happen?
Let's not go too far. Come on there.
The dude was, you know, on fire early in training camp. It's like, oh, man, look at this guy. Something's different, man. He does not have that burst anymore, and that's probably why he's not playing right now, other than one snap and on kickoff returns. I'm surprised he's on kickoff returns. If you notice, the Jets kept kicking it to him rather than Gainwell. Probably why.
Well, I think a lot of it, at least as far as the run game goes, and again, one touch today in the run game, so it's hard to read much from it. But like when you're back there behind an offensive line that isn't maybe holding their blocks or doing what they're supposed to do, and they weren't much better in the run game than they were in pass blocking, I think it's especially hard for a guy who's been told not to overthink to just find the hole and go, which they've told Caleb Johnson, when there's no hole to find. And I think that was the case. I mean, credit to Jalen Warren for getting the 37 yards that he did on 11 carries, because that stretch zone blocking out towards the sideline, I didn't see it work maybe more than once or twice today.
Well, they didn't run the ball that very much. They mostly ran in the second half. I think we should play this game right now, Mac. It just came to my head.
What's that?
If Boswell missed that field goal, they lose 32-31, right?
Yep.
What would be the narrative, not only on this podcast, but throughout Steelers Nation? What would be
– it would be exactly what Patrick Queen said, that they played like shit on defense.
So a 60-yard field goal is almost time expires. It's changed your whole view?
I mean, I would say this. I would say the defense played like shit and wasted a strong effort from Aaron Rodgers. That would be the headline. And so those things can still be true. The defense still played like crap and nearly wasted a very good effort from Aaron Rodgers. But they got out of there because, again, you've got the best kicker in the league. And that's what I hate to try and take something like week one and immediately try to extrapolate it out over 18 weeks. But that's probably going to be the feeling most weeks, win or lose. Like, somebody did something really, really well. Maybe, like you said, the defense starts to put some things together, but Rodgers has a bad week or two, or they can't run the ball still. And so the offense gets bogged down and doesn't score more than 16 points, but the defense holds somebody to 17 and they lose 17-16. Like, this is, until I see a full all 22, for lack of a better way to put it, effort, all 53, maybe, if you want to put it that way, and a complete and total game, you're going to be left wondering, okay, what's going to let us down today, even if it comes in victory?
Yeah. I mean, I look what Justin E said on our comments. Everyone's saying that the D sucked, the outline wasn't good, and they couldn't run the ball. But, you know, they still won the game. So what happens when one of those turn around and they start playing well? I mean, I think we all sit here and say the defense needs to do something. I mean, I'm still not a Justin Fields fan.
Yeah.
But they made it easy for him, man. They made it easy for him to complete 16. I wonder if he ever completed 16 of 22 balls in his career. Probably not. And they weren't difficult throws. And that has to be fixed.
But that's the game plan with Justin Fields. I want to give the Jets credit, and Eggstrand, their offensive coordinator, who we talked about a little bit on Friday. Like, he had the right game plan in place. Establish the run early, which they did. See if the Steelers actually have any interest in stopping the run this year, which looks like they still don't for whatever reason. And then go from there. And once you can't stop the run, well, it opens up everything. And it gives Fields more time. And then you've got a quarterback who can create time on his own anyway. There were two or three plays where, you know, and I thought TJ had a very good game. But there were a few times where TJ is out there on the edge and he gets stuck. He gets caught making the wrong read on the edge, and he's chasing down Breece Hall or Braylon Allen or whoever it is that got the fake. Justin Fields, I mean, look at the second Justin Fields touchdown run. I mean, he walked into the end zone.
Oh, you have to sell out there, don't you?
But you got to have somebody. You've got Justin Fields at quarterback. You've got to have somebody who's earmarked to be out there on that edge, you know? Anyway, my point is this. Fields was given a game plan to execute. They executed it. He didn't turn the ball over at all. Justin Fields did everything they asked of him, I think. Fields may make mistakes later down the line for the Jets, and we'll all look back on it and say, the Steelers did do the right thing, not paying him as much as New York did. But today was not one of those days.
Yeah. No, you got to give him credit. I mean, he still made the throws, but one thing that you hear them always harp on, you got to make him one-dimensional, right? They didn't make the Jets one-dimensional. When you're running the ball as well as they were able to do, that surely helped things out for Fields. It surely helped him out. So if you can stop that run game, which obviously they haven't done in some time now, I think that would have had that trickle-down effect of Fields not having as good as a game as he did as well. So get back to the lab, as the boys would say, and see if they can figure this out. I just keep harping on the same thing. I'd much rather be this way than the flip side.
Oh, yeah.
Playing well and the offense struggled.
If they win 9 more times like this year, they'll be back in the playoffs as a wild card, and we'll probably end up with a pretty similar outcome as we have the last decade or so, and we'll all still be searching for answers. But I think, to your point, if they can fix one or two components of this thing, fix the pass blocking, fix the run defense, that's not just a component. That's like a full thing. Then, okay, now we're talking about a team that maybe squeezes out an extra couple of wins over what the expectation of 9 wins is. And I think they're capable of that. I don't know. I can't imagine that inserting Derek Harmon back into the lineup in a few weeks is going to be the instant quick fix for the run game on defense. But if not, what's it going to be?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. Doesn't look like the Seahawks at halftime have much of a run game either. It's Charbonneau with 34. I got about 50 yards rushing at the
Guarantee they're going to try to run the ball on the Steelers next week.
Oh, of course. Of course you are.
You'd be crazy not to.
Yeah, of course you're going to be able to try to run the ball. But like I said, maybe it's just because, you know, they haven't played together. I don't know. But it wasn't like they were getting gashed, but those first 8 yards were very easy. Yeah. I don't know if that's considered gashed.
They were getting gashed, I'll say. Especially the
first 30, 40-yard runs. I mean, nobody touched anybody in 8 yards. I was like,
you shouldn't be able to get through to the second level without getting touched the way Breece Hall was most of the afternoon, especially early. That's what's dumbfounding to me. And thanks real quick to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. The key to your next door, your next home, whether you're looking to upgrade, downsize, anything in between, whatever it is, the whole team there, ready, willing, and able to help yins out. Heck Team Homes, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com, the Dan Heck team. We appreciate their support. But the problem is, it looked just like it did against the Ravens last year. It looked just like it did down the stretch. You guys are immediately blowing through the defensive line to get to the second level. And if that's the case, then yeah, those first 7 or 8 yards do come pretty easy because Peyton Wilson and Patrick Queen are getting hit by guards.
Wow.
4 and 5 yards downfield.
Oh, they're getting hit by the ass of Keanu Benton getting pushed back 6 yards in that first drive. It was like, what's going on? I mean, and he sat a whole series, too. I'm thinking, did they bench him? But he obviously came back. That's huge right there. You're talking about a guy that has not taken that step forward. I mean, he has to play better, especially in the situation now where you're relying on him. And the guy next to you is Isaiah Loudermilk and Y.A. Black, a fifth-rounder and 2 fifth-rounders, whatever, from guys are not normally would play. So he needs to step up. That's the bottom line, I think. I mean, Hayward maybe, I don't know, maybe give him the benefit of the doubt on week one. Given the benefit of the doubt. I don't know.
If there's one guy, Kaboom, that's not going to be given the benefit of the doubt after everything that's gone on for the past month, it's Cam Hayward.
Did he not get poked in the eye?
I didn't see a replay of it, but that's what they're saying, that he got hit in the eye. Yeah.
Another penalty that should have happened.
Unless it was just...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Well, yeah, I guess it would have had to be hands to the face to get a finger in the eyeball, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, Benton needs to play better. Benton plays better. I think Hayward will eventually get to that spot as quick as next week. Harmon will be slowly be a rotational player with Black, Loudermilk, whoever. Then that helps Peyton Wilson, who had maybe five tackles today, if that, if you're lucky. And Patrick Queen as well. Plus, I mean, Deshaun Elliott's probably your best tackler, and he missed half a game. So if you want to sit there and make excuses, you could probably make excuses.
Is there somebody on a rusty playground swing behind you? What keeps making that noise?
What's that noise?
It's like a... Is it a door somewhere?
You're a damn thing.
Oh, it's not here.
Is it me coughing? It's got that head cold.
No. Yeah, traveling isn't going to help that either. Thanks to the friends at Third Do First In, Firefighter and First Responder Podcast for supporting Kabali and Mac as well. Check them out. Stories from that life from Keith and Gino and some of their great guests. If you're in that part of the world, you know, you're a firefighter, first responder, you want to hear other people that are going through all the crazy stuff that you go through, Third Do First In. If you're not in that life and you want to hear what it's all about, Third Do First In on social media and on YouTube. We appreciate them supporting Kabali and Mac as well. All right. We've been back and forth between good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, since we just got done talking about the run defense again. Good has to be the receiving core. DK, four catches for 83 yards, including a wild one on that final drive.
They hit four guys.
They got bounced all over the place and somehow ended up in his lap. He should have had probably at least six catches because he had a couple, one that was somewhat behind him that Aaron put on himself, and then another one that he dropped early on. But Calvin Austin, 4 for 70, including a touchdown, and drew at least one big interference penalty, probably could have drawn a second. All the whining and moaning and bitching we did about who's wide receiver two, including me, I did plenty of it. Calvin Austin looked like the guy.
Who's been saying that since February?
Yeah, don't hurt yourself patting yourself on the back.
I just try to tell you. I tell you what I see.
I know. But they've got a wide receiver too.
Yeah, I mean, he made some big plays. And I don't even know how many targets. He didn't even have that many targets. I bet you he had
six targets.
Six targets?
Yep.
I mean, Skoranek with a nice play. I mean, that's Aaron Rodgers written all over that Skoranek touchdown because you saw them disguise. They went from too high. The single high, and Rogers saw that. He knew there was going to be something there. So I think I even called that before a play. I'm like, oh, they're moving a single high. He's going to get them. And he did. I mean, Skoranek. Well, you know, another thing we tend to forget now here. What about the job that one Artie Smith did?
I thought Artie did well.
Didn't use the tight ends as much as we thought he would.
Didn't use the tight ends as much, but I do question, and I know, like you said, a lot of it has to do with the offensive line not blocking as well, especially Broderick. But, like, tight end and running back screens on third and long, not my favorite. That's Artie being Artie. Now, look, Rodgers has the ability, I would think, to check out of stuff at the line, and he knows if the Jets are bringing something, he's got to get the ball out quick. So I'll say this. I think Arthur Smith put together a decent game plan. Aaron Rodgers did a great job of executing that game plan and making it look maybe a little bit better than it was initially built.
Yeah. I mean, Jonnu had Speaking of tight ends, he had six targets.
Five catches on six targets. The touchdown.
Freiermuth had 3 and 3, I think. I mean, no Darnell Washington. I thought he was going to come out and use those toys, man, but he didn't. But I think he did well. I think if they were to come out and put up 12 points right after saying Aaron Rodgers stinks, it was going to be, yeah, but they don't have an offensive coordinator. So, but on the flip side of that, what do you say about Terrell Austin? But is it Terrell Austin's fault or is it Mike Tomlin's fault?
Or is it everybody's fault on that side of the ball? I was trying to stay skewed towards good news, and now you're going back to bad news.
No, I'm just trying to keep it even, fair, both sides.
For what it's worth, from the locker room, Brooke Pryor reporting that Aaron Rodgers said he's going to let Ben Skowronek keep the ball from their first quarter touchdown together, even though it's Rodgers' first as a Steeler. I got plenty of those. He can have that one. So the Rodgers-Skowronek bromance really starting to take off. Jet pun intended.
What I said, what I tell you months ago, Ben Skowronek's the type of guy you have to win championships. And everybody made fun of me.
Well, I'll give you credit for calling that John. I'll give you credit for calling that John U. Smith was going to have a big game.
I thought he was going to have a bigger game than that, but
The 15 yards doesn't show much. But like you said, five catches on six targets and a touchdown.
He has 15 yards.
Okay, forget the 15 yards.
Well, you're trying to compliment me. You're trying to compliment me, and I'm saying no.
Yeah, you're refusing to take it. This is what happens.
Well, I thought that Austin played well, and I think Skowronek obviously is a guy that just does it. My whole point there was always he just does those intangibles, and we saw the intangibles. I mean, who catches touchdowns and recovers punts?
What's going on down on the field?
Looking outside, there's a white pigeon just standing there. I've never seen a white pigeon.
Albino pigeon just staring you down with those crazy red eyes.
He just took off though.
Thanks to the friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. Whether it gets warm again like it's supposed to for the next few days and you want to make sure the AC is still running smoothly, or you're worried about later this year when it starts to get cold again in the fall, it is football season after all, get things checked out and looked at. They'll give you a furnace tune-up. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. You can get in touch with them there, or the number's on the screen. Just give them a call, 412-297-1852. I've had them here to replace the furnace, and they always check on the AC before the summer gets started and the furnace before fall gets really going and it gets cool out overnight. Impact HVAC, the people to trust at Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. We appreciate their support of Kabali and Mac as well. So real quick, before we wrap it up, anybody else we need to give? Oh, I know who I wanted to mention real quick. Pressed into service after the Deshaun Elliott injury. Chuck Clark comes in, 8 tackles, 1 for a loss, a big one for a loss late in the game. And a dude who was cut 2 weeks ago and got added back to the roster.
He was cut because they didn't want to guarantee his salary.
Whatever, he showed up today, especially late in the game when they had to have a stop.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, once again, when they signed him in camp, those guys you see right away, that's like he's different. And so I was kind of surprised that he was still on the free agency market at that time of the year. So, I mean, what is Elliott? I forget what his injury was now.
I think they said knee.
So whatever it is, it didn't sound like it would be something that he could immediately come back from. Maybe he is. Maybe who knows yet. And he got to get evaluated. But he could be a guy that's very valuable in that back half. I mean, Porter is a guy that seems like he's going to be out for a little bit. So you're going to have to shuffle some things, put Echols out there, probably bring – I don't know what to do with Pierre. I don't know if they would bring him back full-time or what. But that's a worry about next week.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about Porter if it was really just hamstring tightness and they just wanted to protect him from actually getting hurt.
Well, that's what they said about Herbig, too.
I get it. By the way, speaking of young Big Ten edge rushers, saw Jack Sawyer out there for a few plays. I don't think he actually did anything with the time that he got. Let me see here. 1 tackle, may have been on special.
He was out there more than I was expecting.
Well, we talked about it. The edge rusher thing, they like to rotate.
Oh, you know why? Because Harrison got hurt. They had him moving outside.
So there was a lot going on. especially late in the game. LT commenting on YouTube. I don't know where he's getting this because we're doing a show and I haven't been watching the social media constantly for the last 45 minutes. Elliott might miss six games. I don't know about that. I'm sure we'll find out more in the next couple of days. I would hope not because I love Deshaun Elliott and the way he plays. So, but again, what's Mike Tomlin always say? One man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. And Thornhill also had eight tackles. Thornhill and Clark looked ready for the moment late in the game.
Hey, by the way, change subject real quick. Did you see a person on the American flag got caught?
What?
You didn't see that?
No.
Type in Jets American flag or something.
Wait.
They had the one of those flags that were size of the...
The size of the... Oh, that was today.
Yeah.
I did see that.
He got
cut. Somebody got stuck on it?
Yeah, and he's crawling across it.
How do you get stuck on the flag?
That's funny because I'm looking right now and he's crawling like right at Spencer Anderson and Zach Frazier.
I'm pulling up the video right now. He's crawling across the American. Is this during the anthem?
Yes, yes.
What would you do if you were in a similar spot? Like they start playing the anthem and you're on top of the flag at midfield. Would you stand up and hand over heart? Or would you just slink off, crawl off the field like this guy did?
I'd probably just sit there, you know, get into the red space so you're not noticeable.
I take my hat off and I honor America with the playing of the national anthem. I'm not going to be caught crawling across the field during the anthem.
I don't know. I can't remember how that worked. I know the Steelers had to run on the field a certain way because the flag was being held on that sideline. When they unfurled it, maybe he just got caught up in it.
Got stuck out there. Man, if you're on hold the giant flag duty before the game, you have one job. Hold on to the giant flag. Don't get stuck in the middle of it. And if for some reason you get stuck in the middle of it, I got to think you stand there for the anthem before you try crawling off. That's just me. All right. I'm going to go finish my ice cold IC light, my victory beer. You go write a story, do everything else you got to do, fly back in the morning, and we'll do this again maybe Tuesday for Tomlin's press.
I'll be on the flight tomorrow, hopefully, unless it gets delayed. You know how that is.
Unless it gets canceled again while you're sitting at the airport.
Let's not hope that.
Don't ever fly that airline again.
It was United. Not like it was like JetBlue or Spirit or Allegiant or whatever that is.
Were you tempted at that point to just get in the car and drive? Or
I could have went with Hathorn this morning.
See?
He drove up at 5 a.m., but I'm like, I'll be on the ground at 7 o'clock, and he'll be like in Punxsutawney.
Harrisburg.
Not even by 7 o'clock.
No, so Breezewood.
Then he would have left now. He's not going to be back till like 2 in the morning. You talk about a guy that's had a 21-hour day.
Jeez. All right. Well, go write your story. We'll look for it on Twitter. Like I said, I've been nursing this thing because we've been busy yapping, but I'm going to go pound it, finish it up. Steelers win.
Now. You're going to go pound it.
Yeah. Pound the rock.
There's nothing in it. Are you sure you're not going to go out on the fire pit?
Might have a fire tonight. It's good fire weather. You were just jealous last night that I was by a campfire and you were stuck in your game room when you should have been in Newark.
No, what I was watching. What was I watching?
Karate Kid again?
No, I wasn't. Anyway, I didn't see Macchio.
No Macchio? Jeez. That wasn't him crawling across the flag? What if it was and he just stood up crane kick style in the middle of the flag during the anthem?
Gave him a standing ovation.
They would have. All right, let's wrap it up. We'll do it again Tuesday morning ahead of the Mike Tomlin press conference. The Steelers pull out a 34-32 victory at MetLife Stadium.
You know what? Now I think about it, Tuesday might be early, right?
Yeah, we'll do it early. So you
I gotta go get a shot in my knee at 10 o'clock. You remember?
Oh, dear Lord. Totally we'll forgot. Figure it out.
Maybe
we'll
after. Back. Oh, you got the whatever.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Don't worry. We'll be back soon. Don't forget to follow on social media and get subscribed. We got another awesome giveaway going on. If you're one of the first 3,018 subscribers on YouTube, either the autographed Will Hard helmet or the Stone Cold Steve Austin autographed vest. And our good friends at First and Goal may be hooking yins up this week with something almost as cool as that, maybe even cooler.
It's a special one.
It is a special one. We'll tell you more about that the next time we get together. Thanks for joining us for a live post-game edition of Cabali and Mac. Yins, have a great rest of your Sunday. See yins, bye.